Hallelujah. Yeah, if you turn in the Bible, if you have your Bible, to the 18th chapter of Revelation, it's kind of a series on judgment. And by the way, let me, this is not a disclaimer, but it's a balancer. Brethren, there is no need for us to fear the judgment of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yes, we need to have a godly fear and reverence of God, but if we are walking in righteousness, we do not need to fear the day of judgment. Amen? Isn't this what this song that we were singing earlier? The very first line, the fearful hearted. Amen? Say to the fearful hearted. Amen. He will come and save you. You know, and then that last verse is, did you notice the line on there? You will arise again. Did you catch that? It's the last verse on that.
Oh, how does that one here?
Oh, I'm sorry, you came in a little late. Okay, but it says, you will arise again.
Lift up your eyes.
Lift up your eyes again. You will arise again. Amen? And we're talking about resurrection. Brethren, we have the promise of resurrection. Amen. We don't just get snuffed out of existence. Amen. And we don't go to the place of the damned if we're walking in righteousness and if we are under the blood of Jesus. And even in tribulation, brethren, He has made provision for us. There is a secret place of the Most High. There is, brethren. The door is open.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
So there's my quote-unquote disclaimer. Because when we talk about judgment, we talk about hard things. But you need to know what God is going to do. We need to know the whole counsel of God. God is going to bring judgment on all unrighteousness. And when I said the 18th chapter of Revelation, you knew automatically what we're going to talk about, don't you? We're going to talk about the judgment of the harlot. Amen? She's going to be judged. Now, I wish I had time to do the whole 17th and 18th chapter. I don't have time. But let me just go over quickly some of the highlights of the 17th chapter. When we talk about Babylon, okay, we're talking about the harlot, but we're talking about Babylon. And there are three aspects of Babylon that I'm aware of. Maybe there's more, but the Bible seems to portray three different aspects of Babylon. And the thing that God puts most of His attention on and the Word on when He's talking about the woman, the harlot, He's talking about the false church. Okay? And along with this false church or false religion, shall I use the word religion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're not offended that I use the word religion. Rita used that word one time in the Philippines and the pastor got awfully angry. He didn't like that at all. But God does not want just religion. He wants a walk of faith. Amen. He wants to walk in truth. And this is why when Jesus came, He is the way and the truth.
Well,
what else? There were three of them. The life. Yes. I knew there were three. The life, the way, and the truth. I may not have them in the right order, but the way, the truth, and the life. There you go. And you know, it's funny. Somebody could make a church and say, well, the name of our church is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
Or somebody already has. You probably know that already. I don't know that. But just making these names doesn't make you what your name says. Do you understand? You can say, well, we're the truth group. But you may not have all the truth. I'm so amused sometimes. I see these little vans running around town and downtown Albany. We see these little vans. And my goodness, it seems like they've got their whole doctrine on the name and the bus. You know, sometimes it all has to go into the second line, you know, the name of the group. But, amen. Well, listen, we're going to talk about God is going to judge this false city of religion. Now, let me just read a couple of verses here in chapter 17. It says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, you understand the word whore? It means harlot. It means prostitute. And there's many, many other words in the English language dictionary that mean the same thing. All right? It means a woman who is unfaithful. Okay? She has many suitors. And when God is talking about a woman in type, a woman is a type of church, okay? The bride of Christ, that's a type of church. Amen. The wife, you know, where God said that he was married to Israel in the olden days. It was a wife. And he talked about how she had become unfaithful to him. And she went after other things other than the true God. She went after other gods, other idolatry and this type of thing. This is what God calls harlotry. Amen. When a church goes after other things than the truth, than the true and living God, than the true bridegroom, Jesus himself, when they go after something else, they're involved in unfaithfulness, i.e. religious harlotry. Okay? And it says in the second verse, he's talking about this is a system of religion. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. That's spiritual fornication we're talking about. The kings of the earth. So the religious system has been, so to speak, in bed with bedfellows of the political system. So you've got two systems here. You've got politics and you've got religion, but there's another aspect to this too. So let's just go a little bit here. It says, committed for, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. That is the people, the many waters. See, it says she sits on many waters. And the term many waters means many, many people, particularly unredeemed people, unsaved people, many waters. That's what the term many waters means in Revelation. So she's sitting on many waters, which means she's the boss. She's in charge. She's ruling over these many, many people. And it says these many, many people have been made drunk with the wine of her unfaithfulness. Okay?
Verse 15 is what you're saying.
Yes, in verse 15 it says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So it's a system, and when the sister was talking here about how the world comes to regard Christianity as the persecutor of believers, when they say they're Christians, they are not Christians. They have a name, amen, they have a name, they take the name of Christ, but they are not followers of Christ. Somebody one time, I think, quoted Gandhi, and I don't want to exalt Gandhi here or anything, but said that he said, I don't have a problem with your Christ, I have a problem with your Christianity. In other words, he apparently knew that Christ had something real, but the church didn't have. And India was not seeing the reality of Christ in the church. So here's the problem here, okay? So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Well, I'm not going to go into the whole political system here about the nations at this time. I want to just talk about the judgment on the whore, okay? Now, we come over here, the end of this thing here in verse 16, we'll follow 15 here, is where she was sitting on many waters. And the ten horns, now that's a beast, that's a political system that's going to be rising up in these last days, all right, that's going to be ruling the whole earth, which thou sawest upon the beast, the ten horns, are men. These are ten men that are going to come on the scene, all right. These shall hate the whore. In other words, there's coming a time when the world rulers are going to hate being ruled by this woman, whore, false religion, church system. They're going to hate it. They want to be rid of all religion. Okay? And shall make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now that's not literal. That's figurative speech there. All right, they're going to annihilate the woman. You see, when you saw the woman first, she was riding on the beast. Now, when you're riding on a beast, when you're riding on a horse, who's in control? You or the horse? The rider is in control. Amen? And the horse has to go where the rider wants him to go. But now, you see, there's a sudden turn of circumstances where they turn the circumstance. All right? For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Amen? Frankly, I think that the mother harlot is Rome. You may not agree with me. You can say something else if you want. You can believe what you want, but I believe it's Roman Catholicism, the city of religion. Amen? Now, if you go over to Hebrews, you find the city of the living God. That's the city that we want to be part of. Amen? And a city is made up of many dwelling places, isn't it? And we are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So we, as a corporate people, make up the city of God. But you see, there's another city. It's the city of religion. And God is going to bring that down. Now, it says here in verse 2 of chapter 18, and this angel cried with a mighty strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. Listen to this. The habitation of demons, amen. The hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. This is what's happened. I said what's happened. What's happening probably happened to some extent already of the city of religion. All right, got quiet here. I didn't hear any amens. Okay. For the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Now, here we're getting into the economic side of it. So I said there's three sides. There's religious, there's political, and there's economic. It says, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Do you believe that?
No, it's very good.
Do you believe the economic systems in this same bed?
All the holidays and everything, unless they make money.
Yes, look at the holidays, for instance. What have we got coming up? Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Every advertisement. I mean, Rita was looking in the grocery ad. Everything in here is Mother's Day. There's no other sales mentioned except Mother's Day, Mother's Day, Mother's Day. And they just pump this thing as if this is the only way they can make any money. Why not just make money by selling what you sell? No, they have to make it or break it on the basis of these holidays. And many of them are religious oriented. You go, you know, when we were, listen, have any of you heard of May Day? May Day.
May Day.
The 1st of May. We were in Germany, the first time ever, on May Day. I couldn't believe it. You know, I didn't think the world celebrated May Day. I guess they do. We went downtown, to a little tiny town, and they have a pole. How high was that pole? Looked like it was 70 or 80 feet tall, didn't it? And tied on top of that pole was another pole with all kinds of ribbons hanging from it. And they said, this is the May pole. What?
It was a tree.
Oh, that's right. It was a tree. It looked like a Christmas tree with ribbons coming from it on top of this pole tied way up there. And Brother Hartman said, well, he said, the young man will have to guard that pole now so that no other town men come and cut it down on him. And also the young men were taking these mini trees with ribbons tied to them. They were going over to some girl's house and they were putting it up against her father's house. And in some cases the father was helping them. And of course the girls liked all the attention. But he says these young men have to guard. So Rita and I went down there the next day. And they had a great big farm tractor blocking the whole street off. And they had about a dozen young men sitting around in a circle drinking beer like there was no tomorrow. I mean, there were bottles piled all over the place, and they were, quote-unquote, guarding the maypole. Now, this has got to have some kind of religious background to it. I'm going to look into it. I don't know what it is. But, I mean, they practice it so faithfully, it's got to be something religious. It reminds me of that pole thing, reminds me of the description of the poles that they had at their altars of Baal. All the branches were torn off that it was like a telephone pole. It was a tree. And then on top was another tree. It reminds me of Baal. And the sexual orientation to it, the men pursuing the girls and everything, you know, and the ribbons and everything else, Bernie?
Wasn't that a communist thing?
The communists used to do this too because they didn't think it really related to Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably relates pretty closely to paganism. Yeah, the communists would have their big parade on May Day, and they'd send all their missiles through the streets and their marching bands and everything else. Show what a great military might they had. But on the news, on the local news over there, we heard all over. It was going on in France. It was going on demonstrations in Greece, demonstrations in Spain.
Demonstrations in America.
Demonstrations in America, yeah. May Day demonstrations. Yes, there were demonstrations in America, weren't there?
Yes.
Yes. So anyway, the waters are being stirred up. The winds are blowing on these many waters and the waves are starting to move. Amen? Now, merchants have been made rich. And here's the key verse here, chapter 18. And I heard another voice from heaven. Amen? What happens when you hear a voice from heaven? What ought to happen? You better be listening. If there's a voice from heaven, you better be listening. Amen. Heaven is a spiritual place. In other words, he heard by the Spirit. You hear from heaven by the Spirit. Amen. He heard a voice saying, "Come out of her, my people." What does that mean? That means God's people are in Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go and tell your friends that are in Babylon that the Bible says, "Come out of her, my people," and they're going to love you, aren't they? No, they're not going to love you. They're going to tell you you're biased and you're prejudiced and you're all these other things. You know, what do you got against my church? You know, come out of her, my people. Listen, we need to come out of Babylon. I hope I've come out of Babylon. And you know what? I hope that Babylon has come out of me. There you go. You know, I can come out physically out of Babylon. I can resign. I can walk away. I can say to Babylon, listen, take my name off your list. I'm not coming back. But you know what? Jeremiah says we loved Babylon. We wanted to heal Babylon. But she's not going to be healed. I mean, you can take medicine for her and bomb for her and all that, but it isn't going to work. And I don't know how many people I've encountered over the years that have said to me, "Oh, but Brother Mark, if I leave that church, they're going to die. I'm the only thing, you know, I mean, people like us born again, spirit-filled people, we're giving, you know what? The Bible says that you shouldn't be giving life to the beast. Come on out. Listen, the principle is she's under judgment. She will not be healed. She will not be reformed. She cannot be changed. So basically, the judgment of God has already been issued. Somebody was praying this morning about that God would judge these demons that have come against their family. You know what? The demons are already under judgment. Their sentence has been passed. All that's lacking is the formality of their being thrown into Gehenna. That's all that's lacking. But the judgment has been passed. Brethren, we have an opportunity even now to go the right way. Come out of her, my people. Tell your friends. Listen, I don't care whether they like you or don't like you. The hour is too late. Tell your friends, come out of her, my people. Why? Why? It says, I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now that means if you stay in her until the fire falls, you're going to get the fire. You may be saved, but you're still going to get the fire. What are her plagues? She's going to be destroyed in 1 hour. Now, do you want to wait till... Listen, suppose I know that your house is on fire. And there's a small fire going in the back porch. And if you just ignore it, it's just going to keep growing. And it's going to consume your whole house. Now, I tell you that your house is on fire. It's under judgment. It's doomed. There's no fire department. There's no telephone. There's no way to call anybody. It's just going to be burned. Yeah. How long do you want to wait to get out?
That's right. Amen.
Do you want to wait and say, you know, I think I've got another hour yet.
Amen.
I got a few phone calls I'd like to make, you know. No, you would quickly grab what you consider the most valuable thing that you own. You know, it's amazing what people will grab. Not necessarily the most valuable thing, and run with it. The thing where their heart might be, but not the thing that might be the most valuable. People will grab some idols sometimes and run out. They might grab a pile of photographs and leave $1,000 in cash behind. Amen? Okay, come out of her. All right. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she has filled to her double. She's carrying a cup. Do you understand this? She's carrying a golden cup. Now, what happens when the cup gets full?
It overflows.
When God's cup gets full, what happens? He dumps it out.
Yeah.
Amen. And he's going to pour out the wrath of this cup.
Amen.
He's going to pour out. Listen, he's talking about these vials. He's going to pour them out.
Yes, he will.
Amen. She says here in the next verse, she says in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. She believes she's the queen of heaven. All right? Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord that judges her. Then we get into the kings again, the political thing. Then we get into verse 11. We have the merchants of the earth that weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Somewhere it was the merchants that have the ships. Where? What chapter is that? Or what verse is that? Oh, here it is, verse 17. Let me start here in verse 11. We'll just go down through here. It says in verse 11, "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore." The merchandise of gold and silver. All right, we're talking about the monetary exchange here. We're talking about banking, aren't we?
Yes.
All right, gold and silver is a type of banking. Do you realize what control the banking industry has? What power they have. I mean, when a president comes in and gives $1 trillion to the banking industry, you understand how powerful they are. With Revelation,
to proclaim it.
Yes, 18, it says they don't buy their merchandise anymore. So in other words, there's no more banking, there's no more pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet. Sounds like the garment industry, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Time and wood and all manner of vessels of ivory, vessels of most precious wood, brass, iron, marble. Just about any industry that you want. Now here we're getting into the cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense. What does that sound like? What kind of industry is that?
Cosmetics.
Cosmetics, yeah. My goodness. You know, I can't help but think when I see how big the cosmetic industry is. The paint. You're either going to buy food or you're going to buy paint. Which one are you going to buy?
Food.
You're going to buy food. And this industry is going to go down. The merchants are going to cry again. And it says here, and wine and oil. We're talking about the food industry here, aren't we? And the entertainment industry. The wine isn't just wine. Wine includes beer, whiskey, all this stuff. And fine flour and wheat. This is your best of your restaurants, your delicatessen, or what do they call the fine taste? What's the term I'm looking for here? Well,
gourmet.
Gourmet, yeah, your gourmet taste. The fine gourmet taste. All right, beasts and sheep and horses and chariots. All right, the cattle that supply the meat. Now listen to this, and slaves and souls of men.
Wow.
The merchants have been trafficking in, including, yes, is slavery still going on? Indeed it is.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it has been outlawed for 150 years, but it's still going on. And the souls of men are being trafficked by this system. I'm talking about the system. You say, well, that's only the merchants. No, all three of them are in bed with each other. The political, the politicians have to protect them, the bankers have to finance them, and the religious put the stamp of authority on it, the seal of approval.
What's your verse, man?
Pardon?
Verse.
We're talking about verse 13, the latter part of it. And now listen to verse 14. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. Now this isn't just natural food that we're talking about. We're talking about when Babylon comes to an end. We're talking about when that false religious system comes to an end. And she's coming to an end with the financial system and the political system. There's coming a crash. It's got to happen. There's no question about it. But the things that your soul lusted after are departed from thee. What does that remind you of? Doesn't that take you back to the book of Exodus? And what was the problem? They had manna. Manna was sufficient. And it had a good taste. But what did the children say?
We wanted onions and garlic.
They said we wanted onions and leeks and garlics and cucumbers and melons. And we want the things of Egypt. Why? Not because we're being malnourished, but our soul is dried up. We want spice. We want a little kick out of life. And today, they would be saying, we want our entertainment, we want our toys.
Yes.
Our men want their big machines. They want their boats. They want their four-wheelers. They want their snowmobiles. They want their sports events. They want their Yankees and Red Sox and whatever. They want to go to these games. They want their television programs. They're things that we lust after. There's people that cannot sit an evening in their house without turning the box on. Impossible. Restless. Get up. Pace around. What's wrong? Box doesn't work. No, this is... I'm telling you, God is going to... This is judgment. God is going to determine what is in your soul, what is in your heart. If all you long for is Jesus, you're going to be okay. You're not going to have these problems. He's all I need.
Amen.
I've got Him. Amen. Now listen, it says, are departed from me, and all things that were dainty, what was the word you used here a little bit ago? Gourmet. All the gourmet tastes that we've got. You know, we've got to the place in America, and I can name a few other places too. We don't just want to buy a machine that functions and does the job. We've got to have all the whistles and springs and gadgets and controls and computers and bells and whistles. Yeah, dainty. We got to have the best. We'll pay twice the price to get it. And people are doing that with their cars too. They've got to have all the whistles and springs and gadgets and everything else. God is judging that. Listen, America needs to come under this judgment. We have got a generation of children growing up that don't know anything about hard times. They have been pampered to the nth degree. Everything their little soul desires. I see them coming into these restaurants. All right, fast food. And the daddy's holding the little 3-year-old. Well, do you want this? What would you like? Do you want that? Come on. When we went somewhere, my mom and dad told me what we were going to have. Point is, we never even went anywhere. We were told what we were having at home. Mom says you have a choice. I can put it on this side of your plate or that side of your plate. That's your choice. So the psychologists have told us, oh, well, we have to give the children a choice, you know. Parents can't just tell them you have to do thus and thus. Come on, my parents told me. Is that why I'm so twisted and warped today? Because I had parents that enforced the word that they gave me because I had a fear of getting a spanking, which means that I have experienced it. I know what it's all about. That's what gives me the fear of getting another one.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
That's another thing. Anywhere in Scripture where it talks about timeouts for disobedience.
Oh,
it's
been there.
That's what the psychologist said. You can't smack
the kid.
Time out.
What it says is spare the rod and spoil the child. Amen. That doesn't say, oh, go stand in the corner. No. Amen. All right. By the way, I don't know about God telling us to go stand in the corner. He says, every son that he loveth, he scourgeth. That means he gets the whip out.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
How many of you have felt the whip of God on your back from time to time? Yeah, I felt the whip of God. I don't want to feel another sting of God's whip on my back. I want to be obedient. Amen. And I think, you know, people that know how to train horses, when the horse knows, if he obeys, it all goes well for him. But if he doesn't, you've got to consider the hand of God, brethren. He really is in control of the kings of the earth.
Oh, yes, he is.
He really is. And if we don't like what we're getting, it's because we deserve it. And maybe because we've asked for it.
Oh.
And especially in America, we voted in. Whatever we get, we ask for.
Not all of us.
Well, no, but the majority of us. The system that we're part of. Well, let's go back to this. It says, the goodly, the things that were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. He's shutting it down. Life is going to change.
Wow.
I believe this to be in my lifetime. Now, I know I'm getting a little older. Some of us that say this are going to die. But it's still going to happen in this generation.
Amen.
All right? The merchants of these things, the merchants of these things, which were made rich by her. What does it say in Ezekiel chapter 28? Because of thy merchandising. It's Satan. It's a description of Satan's fall. Before he fell out of heaven, he was trafficking and merchandising. What? He didn't have natural things to sell. What was he merchandising in heaven with the other angels that fell with him? What was he selling? He was selling rebellion. He was merchandising it. He was making trade-offs. He was offering them something in exchange for their rebellion to follow him. Look it up. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. I think I got them right there, didn't I? Yes. Yeah, Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. You know, my little grandson, how old is he, 10? 10 years old. He was asking me questions about the devil. I said to my daughter, get me a King James Bible. She found me one. I opened it up and I began reading to this little lad. He was very interested. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches are come to naught. How long do you think it's going to take God to bring it down? Just like that. Just like that. As fast as the World Trade Towers came down. That's yeah. Just how fast. When you know, when you look at the condition that the economy is in, and you say to yourself, how can it possibly go on? If I had, in my personal life, if I had the debts, the debt ratios, I mean, you can talk about ratios and figures and this type of thing. If I had the problems, they would have collected me a long time ago and sold me off. Really, taken everything I have. How can the world system continue? 23%, I think they said in Spain. Higher than that in Greece.
24% unemployed in Spain.
24, okay, I got it close. What is it in Greece? 30? 27 or something? Do you know what's happening in Spain? The immigrants are leaving because they can't find work. They're going back to North Africa. They're going back to South America, places where there's Spanish-speaking people. They're leaving. They're going out. They can't find work.
Not happened here.
Going back. Yeah, happening in Greece. I'm not saying any. You know, immigration is not my thing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the economic situation of the world. And I'm asking God, what goes on? And you know what I believe the Spirit is showing me is, there's a verse, I've read it before, Larry, you probably know where it is, but He sustains all things by His hand. Where is that verse? You've heard me read it. Some of it. All things are sustained by Him. He holds all things. And you know what? All He has to do is in 1 hour open His hand and everything falls. I remember how surprised and how quickly. I don't have a television, but there was one next door at the time, and somebody called me on the phone and said, "You need to find a TV quick. They're going after New York City." I went to my neighbor, we turned the TV on, and we watched the tower fall. It was that fast.
Wow.
And then the next one fell. And we saw, live, we saw the plane go into the second one.
Yep.
It happened that fast. Totally unexpected. We're talking about judgment now. We're talking about judgment of Babylon. You see, in the millennium, the kingdom of God is not going to have a Babylon. Do you know what Brother Burt tells these people in these other countries where we have to have a translator? He says, the only reason I have to have a translator is because of sin. And people are saying, what? Yeah, because of the sin of Babylon, we have all these languages. Does that mean we won't have them in the millennium? I don't. God could reverse it as easily as He created it. He can reverse anything insofar as the curse is concerned as easily. All He has to do is say the word and it's done. So powerful is our God. And you know what? There's nothing man can do to undo anything that God says is going to happen. You can name and claim all day long. You can take authority over it. It isn't going to work. How many of you tried to take authority over things that you couldn't take authority over? I tried to take authority over the weeds in my garden one time. I listened to some preacher say that, "Oh, we got authority, we're going to take authority over it." So I went out and I started cursing the weeds.
Oh, yeah.
The next day I'm out there digging the weeds up. They wouldn't get cursed by my voice. All right. It says, they were made rich. I want to get to the part about the ships. Oh, okay. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Are you aware of the amount of shipping that goes on?
Unbelievable.
Everything that we get comes by ships. Have you seen the size of these massive ships that sail from the Orient? Huge ships. I mean, ships that would make Titanic look like a tugboat. By the way, did you know that a man has built another Titanic? He calls it Titanic 2?
Yes.
A shipbuilder. I saw a picture of it.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes.
But he isn't bragging that it can't sink. He said, of course it can sink. You put a hole in it and it'll sink. So maybe he's thinking that he's not going to take the same mistake that the other guys made. Amen. All right, so the ship in the industry also. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. an economic crash is the only thing that could cause this. Not a presidential order, only an economic crash. No matter how they try to hold the banking system together, there's coming, and it isn't just going to be one little nation. By the way, did you know that there are four nations on the earth whose official currency is the U.S. dollar? Did you know that? Mozambique is one of them. Yeah, it's amazing what you read in these London newspapers. Stuff that you never find out in America.
You get a lot more information there. They're more thorough.
Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
In South America. I forgot what they didn't tell what the other two are. But Mozambique, their inflation was so wild. I mean, it was in the thousands of percent. The value of their money would change by the minute. So they just decided, well, we're just going to use dollars. And they did away with their currency. The only problem is they need change. Everything has to cost an even dollar. And by the way, a dollar could be a day's wage in their economy. Now I'm talking about, you see, this is an example of what can happen worldwide. What happens to these little countries that can't sustain their economy? They don't, you know, they're not in with the big bankers. They're not in with the movers and shakers. And when you're not in, you go down. So they weren't in. All right, for 1 hour she's come to naught. Okay. Now here's the good news, and I'll finish with this. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. When God says, rejoice ye heavens, it doesn't just mean that God is commanding his heaven, where his throne is, to rejoice. We are part of a heaven also. You who are spiritual are heavenly people. And God is saying to his people, don't be sad about this. Now I know in the natural, when I think about my checking account suddenly becoming worthless, you understand? I'm going to have a hard time overcoming my natural inclination and saying, okay, praise the Lord. You know, why are we going to say praise the Lord? Because the kingdom of God has come. A much better kingdom that we have ever known is coming. Hallelujah. Rejoice. Amen. Apostles and prophets. Why is he singling out the apostles and the prophets?
Those are the two servants of God from the Old Testament. Everything is based upon the words of the apostles and the prophets.
The foundation is the apostles and the prophets. And when we're talking about religion, how many churches do you know that recognize apostles and prophets? Not many. They have pastor, which is supposed to be shepherd. They have evangelists. Some of them have teachers if they have a college or, you know, a school or a university or something like that. But apostles and prophets? And you know, the recognition of apostles and prophets is such a ministry that cannot be manifest or recognized unless you are truly moving in the Spirit of God. You can grind out these other things. Evangelists have learned how to turn the crank and get people stirred up. Pastors have learned how to rule over their congregations. Teachers have learned, you know, the doctrines, and they can chew them out. But now when we get into true prophets, if you're not really hearing from the Spirit of God, you're going to be found out pretty soon. And an apostle is an even more powerful ministry, a true apostle. There's, you know, by the way, there are a lot of guys that are saying they're apostles. I'm talking about real apostles. Rare. Very rare. Very few. Okay? So he's saying that, now we're coming down here, he says, and a mighty angel took up a stone, this is verse 21, like a millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. In other words, she's not going down with a whimper. It's not going to be like, oh, I think there's a recession. You know, the unemployment rate is creeping up. Inflation is creeping up. It's been going on for 5 years. No, this is not the way Babylon is going down. She's going down, you take a great big millstone, throw it in the lake, splash. That's how quick she goes. And the voice, now, this is very, very interesting. And the voice of harpers, what's the sound of the harp? The stringed instruments. The voice of harpers, I like that the King James uses the word voice. It has a voice. Do you know that in heaven, we're going to have these voices of harpers and flutes in our praise? The description of the devil before he fell was that his vials, his pipes, were made by God for praise. And it leads you to believe that he was the one, he was the anointed cherub, it says. He was the one who called all of heaven to praise. And you could just, in the spirit, you could just hear when he was a good angel how his voice would begin to rise up. And all of heaven would hear and join in, and they'd come around and they'd praise the throne of God. But you see, he got proud and rebellious, and God put him out. He wouldn't have it. So we're talking spiritual language here. And musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall no more at all be heard in thee. In other words, this is something that's still in Babylon. Praise. Praise and worship can still be found in Babylon. You say, well, why should I leave her? We have such good praise. But because of her, the other things of her nature, she's under judgment. And God says, the time is coming when this will no longer be found in her. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he shall be found any more in thee. The sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. What is the sound of the millstone? It's the fabrication and the industry and the business. It's not going to be in her anymore. And the light of the lamp. What's that speak of? The light of the lamp. The Word. The Spirit. The light of the Spirit of the Word. No more. You know, they still occasionally read the Bible in the Catholic Church. Did you know that? They do. The priest gets up, he reads a little passage. And you know, whereas they don't preach salvation, but somebody could get saved just hearing that word.
The Catholic Bible is the same as ours.
Yeah, well, they do have some other books.
No, I know, but basically, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
We read the Bible, Catholics read the Bible, and you know, they have to make a choice between believing the Bible or the church doctrine.
But in the judgment of Babylon, God is saying, the lamp will no longer be found in you. It's going to be gone. And will no more shine in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom. Who would be the bridegroom? The voice of Jesus will no longer be heard in Babylon. And the bride, which would be the true church, the faithful church, by the way, I might add, not the harlot church, but a bride is a faithful church, okay? Shall no longer be heard at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. You see how the deception got out? It was witchcraft that deceived the minds of people. Have you ever been deceived? Yeah, I have been. Yeah. And when you look back and say, how could I have believed that?
Mm-hmm.
What was wrong with my mind? that I bought that. Incidentally, when I find out the faith of some of these politicians and what they believe, I'm thinking, how could they be so deceived? You understand what I mean? How can a man believe in Mormonism knowing the evidence of the basis of their religion? So I'm just saying they're all deceived. And what the Word of God is saying here is the sorceries have deceived them all. All right, and the last verse here, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and all that were slain upon the earth. Now, here's the answer to your question, sister. It wasn't a question. You know the answer. Where you said in the prayer that those that were put in the tribulation, no, the persecution, burned at the stake, the Spanish Inquisition, the whole business, and religion was involved.
I know they were
in all of it. The church, and particularly the mother harlot. But her daughters were involved as well. Her daughters were also involved. And it says, in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints. You know, my ancestors were also burned at the stake. Thousands of them. They were people of faith that turned against Roman Catholicism and believed in baptism upon confession of faith, and they were burned at the stake. I don't have a hard time personally believing in the judgment of the whore when I know what happened to my ancestors. They're my fathers in the natural. But you know what? More than that is I'm willing to be among the servants of God that lay their life down. And this is where we need to come, brethren. There is no place of escape until we also come to where we will not preserve our life at all cost, but we will lay it down. And we will find, in doing so, we will find the secret place of the Most High that God has for us. Well, God bless you.